this podcast
will very likely contain adult language, adult content, argumentative masochism. Listener discretion is advised.
Kids, put your headphones in. About to use TV mature words.
Filthy language.
Welcome, welcome, welcome to The Legal Dispute with Paul and Lenny. I hope everybody's having a great week. Obviously, we just got through the inauguration, so some things have changed, and we went right from the inauguration, and we decided to jump right into signing presidential executive orders. So, you know, I think that there's a level of discussion that can be had there. Leonard agrees with everything that Joe Biden has done at this point in time, and there's no issues, which is not surprising whatsoever, but... All right, so Lenny went, you know, Lenny had no issue with any of the executive orders this week.
Why do
so,
you say that? I mean,
you just said it while we were arguing before we even I'm not arguing. You just said to Andre and I went through all the executive orders. I thought they were all great.
That's not what I said.
Andre, is that what he said?
I said, I don't understand. Andre goes, are you guys going to have a dispute about him? I said, I don't understand why we would dispute any of them.
Okay, well, that means that you agree with all of them.
No, I'm not saying I agree with all of them. I said, why would we dispute between any of them?
What do you mean, why would we dispute between any of them?
You're a logical person. I'm a logical person.
Well, clearly you're not that logical because you should be questioning some of these things and what these actions are.
Well, I may question them.
Okay, so fire away at one that you think is not... That is okay with you, I guess. I mean, well, you said you knew all 30.
Well, I know there's 30 of them, is what I said. See, he's got to. You got to pay attention when you come in.
I literally knew exactly what you were going to do before this show even started. And this is called the Leonard backtrack. I'm going to talk all anything. Sorts of shit while the microphones aren't on. Now the microphones are on. It's like,
wait a second. Cause what I said was not.
So let's start with a few of them.
Okay.
Fire away, because you knew them all.
Well, it seems like a large part of them had to do with COVID and the fight against COVID.
I agree. And I think the COVID ones are fine. Move on to something else.
Well, no.
Because we all agree with them. So there's no fun talking about it. I think that, set up the COVID task force. He set up testing. He did the right thing. 18
out of the 30?
No, I think it was 8.
Okay. Well, what do you have?
What do you mean? What do I have? You're the lawyer. You're the one who should know this shit off the top of your head.
Okay, let's talk.
I'm just a guy who drives a truck.
Let's talk about the first thing is that comes to my mind is the pipeline,
the Keystone Pipeline.
Yes,
that operates from Canada down to Nebraska and then splits up in refineries. And let's talk about that.
So he stopped the permits from.
Shut down the pipeline.
Yep, it has to do with the permits for the pipeline.
Right. So he just. Yep. Okay.
Okay. And he's following what the federal court orders did until. Why are you laughing?
Because this is where the bullshit starts. So go ahead.
What do you know about it?
I know that 11,000 or 12,000 people just lost their jobs in a single swipe of a pen. And that in the name of the environment, we are not going to have that. I know for a fact that we are going to see gas prices increase. Why would he go into his office and do that?
Why would he go into his office and do that? I'll tell you why.
Okay. I'm dying to hear it because there's no negative impact anymore.
You're so wrong on this.
All right, fire away.
Do you know how they got the permits to do the pipeline?
Len, is the pipeline up and operating today? There are people employed on the pipeline.
They pulled the permits to do the construction on the pipeline. This is where the part where you just read, the Fox News headlines and you right away say people lost their job.
I watched it on CNN, by the way.
The first thing about the pipeline that people have to understand is the pipeline was made from Canada to the Texas refineries so that Canada can make money off of their oil, not the United States to make money off the oil for Canada. It's not even for United States consumption. It's for so they can trade it to other countries like China and all of those. So that's the first thing
that's not correct, Leonard.
Yeah, that is correct.
Being used in America. No, it's Leonard. It's
Canadian oil, Paul.
It is Canadian oil. It's coming from the Canadian oil fields. You're right.
Canadians make the money off of it. That's the first.
Canadians make some money off it.
The second issue is, this is the issue that drives me nuts because nobody understands this. What happened was there was a permit to do the pipeline.
There is a permit to do the pipeline. Hold on, Paul.
You're not letting me finish. There was already one spill of 400,000 oil in North Dakota. What happened was a federal judge said, before you can go back and start doing this construction on this, you have to do an economic study on this. You have to do
not an economic study, an environmental study, to
figure out what is the lasting effect on this stuff, if there's leaks and so forth. A federal judge said this, and he put a halt to the permits to allow the construction. The first thing President Trump did when he went into office.
This isn't about Trump, Len.
Yeah, you're not letting me finish. It is about Trump.
No, it's not.
This is a reversal of a Trump executive order, Paul. It's not him just doing it on his own. What he did, doing it on his own. He signed it. Please listen. This is where the frustration comes. Because what he did was, the first thing Trump did was say, we're not going to follow a federal judge. I'm going to sign an executive order to allow these permits. So what Biden did is he just went back and changed Trump's executive order and said, you can have those permits when the environmental study is done. He went back to what a federal judge said in the first place. Mm. So for people to come in and say, oh, he's anti-oil, he's anti this pipeline, is totally wrong.
What
Trump did was wrong.
Okay.
What Trump did is supersede a federal judge and say,
I'm going to give you a permit. Trump is wrong. That's great. Biden, equally wrong. Biden, because he just cost people jobs. And then on the same swipe of the pen, he suspended all oil drilling, all oil and all new oil appointments in the United States for the next 100 days, all gas permits for the next 100 days.
Until there's an environmental study that has to be done, that the federal courts order to be done, but the former president of the United States says we don't have to follow federal law.
This isn't about the former president of the United States.
Because he is overdoing.
This is about the president of the United States. You can't blame everything and every decision that Biden makes. You can't say it's Trump's fault. It's not. It's Biden's executive orders. Biden could have sat there and said, guys, I'm not going to have people lose their jobs and I'm not going to do something that hurts the economy. Let's talk about this and figure out how many jobs people have lost. Show me the proof. Show me the proof. Are you fucking kidding me right now? Show me the proof for half the comments you make. We wouldn't be on the air.
Show me the proof that the jobs that were lost, number one. And number two, the reason why he did this was because he wanted to follow federal law. God forbid for that our presidents want to follow a federal judge, another area branch, and follow their court order.
I love this. I love this now because this is what this show's going to become. It's going to become everything that happens was Trump's fault, but Leonard, it is a fact, and people did lose their jobs. But how you sit there and say, "Well, show me the facts, show me the evidence." Leonard, go read a freaking news article, whether it's CNN, MSNBC, your friend Rachel Meadow, or whoever, they will all tell you that people lost their jobs.
I'm not saying nobody
lost their jobs working on the pipeline, assembling the pipeline, working at refineries.
What about the 400,000 oil spill they had in North Dakota?
What about it, Len?
That's why we're in a situation we're in right now.
Len, because the president said, I don't care about the spotted owl. That's not what I'm talking about. You don't care about the oil spill.
This is the problem. Len, it's not that I don't care about an oil spill. I'm saying that because it's not on your land, it shouldn't bother you.
No, Leonard, you have an issue with an oil spill in the Gulf of Mexico. You have an issue with an oil spill in Puget Sound. You have an issue with an oil spill off of Long Beach. There's a million things that are going to go wrong. But until we try to figure out how to bring oil into this country, then we're always going to be leaning on somebody else to provide us with oil.
I'm not disagreeing with you on that.
Then why pull all the permits this week from any new rigs or any new gas permits? Why? I mean, it makes no sense.
I just told you why, that he's flipping off the oil and gas industry.
No, Len, it's two different executive. This is not about Keystone. This is about now new oil permits.
I'm telling you, it's the same issue. What happened was
then what Biden did is not.
I know you're saying, well, it's not about Trump, but it is about Trump because what Trump did is he signed an executive order.
Did Trump make a decision to sign an executive order to open up the oil fields?
Yes.
Okay. Did Biden make a decision? Wait a minute. Did Biden make a decision to shut down those oil fields?
He made a decision federal judges said.
You don't get to do that, Len.
Yes, I do.
No, you don't.
Because it's the truth.
No, it's not the truth. What's Biden the made truth a decision to say, okay, I'm going to lay these people off.
Okay, next one.
No. Okay. I mean, it's, you know, that if that's fine by you, then
it is.
I understand.
Fine by me because of the reason. It's not fine by me that people lost job. It's fine by me that the reason that you do this is because a federal judge said you have to do this. Everybody, when they build something,
when your gas prices are $3 this summer, you tell me that it's fine. And by the way, don't tell me about you're willing to pay. What about the guy who just lost his job?
Okay.
What about the guy that you're always fighting for? That's
what
working
about
at
your
a restaurant.
Grandkids to have an environment to actually enjoy. What about your grandkids to breathe oxygen and
my
air?
Grandkids won't exist, Leonard, because we're going to be broke. We're going to be bankrupt, broke,
because
and the country's going
to
be done.
To be drilled all over and fracking all over the place. And who cares about the environment or Mother Earth?
Len, there are ways to do this. But what I'm telling you is the Democrats have consistently fought against it. And we have to find a way to
to
meet in the middle on this. But we don't do it. So now all of a sudden we just go out and just like the Republicans signed the executive order, the Democrats signed the executive
took our
order. And the people caught in the middle are hardworking Americans, and that
they
sucks.
Took our jet. That's
who I'm talking for.
I don't know what that was.
I don't know either. So now we've extended the agencies to, or we've said we're not going to, you know, we're not going to continue to evict people. So again, anyone who's a landlord or building owner. Anybody who's a land or building owner, you can go broke, but you know, the people that are living there get to live there for free.
It's just through the pandemic.
Is this for the people? Oh, this is for the people that were working in the oil field so that they don't have to pay rent because they lost their jobs. Okay. All right. Well, that's a good idea. And then we're going to waive student loan extensions again. So again, we're going to go on 10 months of not paying back anything to the government.
I don't know how you expect these people to pay if they don't have jobs. I don't understand why you have an issue with orders
to lay people off. And then let's get to the next one.
You're not
we're
talking
gonna raise
about
the minimum
that
wage to $15.
What minimum wage are we waiving?
The federal minimum wage to $15.
Right. You know what the minimum wage in the federal is
$7.85
right
now?
Right. It hasn't changed since 2009.
I get it.
2009, it hasn't changed.
Len, I get
it. The average house in the Denver metro area is $400,000.
What is the minimum wage for the state of Colorado?
I think it's $12.
I think it's $11.45.
I think it went up in 2021 to $12.
So call it $12.
Right.
So the first step to changing the state minimum wage is that the national minimum wage changes. So for federal government
that's
workers.
That's not necessarily true.
Each state
has their own.
That is correct. And they're going to follow the lead. So you've got the federal workers and anyone.
They haven't followed the lead because if they follow the lead, they'd still be at $7, which is the federal minimum wage.
So you've got federal workers that are now going to go to $15 an hour.
Right.
And then you've got any subcontractors that are working on a federal contract have to go to $15 an hour.
Right.
So now I'm a construction company and I'm working on a job site and I'm paying my guys $13 an hour. My margins are 10-12% tops. But my biggest contract is at a federal building because they're building something, whatever it is, XYZ. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And now all of a sudden I got to go change my pay structure. So I'm either going to take money out of my own pocket or I'm not going to hire people, or I'm going to lay people off. I don't understand.
Well, you still have to finish the contract. Now I don't.
I have to finish the contract because the rules of the contract changed.
Well, I don't know. I don't know. Are you sure that?
No,
and I don't
I'm
know.
Not. No, I'm
I don't
not.
Know if it's if it if you're grandfathered into the current contract you're under.
I don't know. And but my
or
point
if it's
is
for
this.
New contracts.
My point is this. Is that here we are at a time where we're sitting here talking about the fact that we have people that don't have jobs. We're going to extend unemployment benefits. We're going to extend this. We're at a hardship, but then we're out signing executive orders that are going to lay people off. And then we're saying we're also going to raise the federal minimum wage. So any of those workers that are now on a job site, I mean, it doesn't make sense.
It doesn't add up to me at all in my brain. The minimum wage for the federal minimum wage does not bother me at all.
Okay.
We've talked about minimum wage. It hurts small businesses when you have an overall minimum wage hike. I have a small business. I have several small businesses. When minimum wage goes up for the state, I have to make that adjustment. And luckily, none of my employees make minimum wage. Some of them would probably disagree. But overall, at least through my law firm, everybody's paid higher than minimum wage. When I look at the minimum wage on a federal level, $7 an hour should have been changed years ago. The way that the people live, I mean, you cannot, right now, if you made minimum wage on a federal contract or whatever you worked for the federal government, you could not afford to even rent an apartment in the state of Colorado, let alone live with your parents in the basement. I mean, you had to do something, Paul. That is ridiculous. $7 an hour at this date and age is ridiculous. There's no way anybody can hold a job and make $7 an hour and expect to even survive anymore. There's just no way.
All right. So where does the money come from, Len? We're handing out money left and right. Now we're going to raise the minimum wage. So the federal government's going to pay out more money. Where does it all come from? Because we don't have student loan investment coming in anymore. We're handing out stimulus checks on, you know, whatever, to millions of Americans.
I guess you got to go back and raise the 1% tax cuts.
He's already taken, he can't do that, Paul.
That has to be done through the legislature.
I understand, but he's already proposing that, which, by the way, Len, I have no issue with. But it's not an offset. I mean, what do you mean it's not an offset? It won't be an offset to as much money as the federal government is spending. And so
have you done the math? I haven't done the math on that.
No, I haven't done the math, Len. But I mean,
we're talking trillions of dollars that the conservatives were saying they were cutting from the budget off of the tax cuts. Okay. So you're talking about, I'll
use this conversation. This is all fair. So if that's the plan, that's the plan that you think it will be.
No, I don't know if that's the plan. I'm just saying.
Well, then I hope there is a plan. But this is where I get frustrated. We sat here and we've bitched about the way that money's been spent, programs that have come and gone, whatever. But then on the first swipe of the pen, we're eliminating jobs. We're giving out free money. We're raising minimum wages. Where's the common sense to all of this that somebody actually, one of our politicians, one of them, I don't give a shit, one of them says, hold up. Can we have a 20-minute conversation before we do the swipe of the pen on all this? Or where's the budgeting group? Where's the budgeting office, the office of budgeting? I mean, where's any of this? And I just, as an American, I don't get it. I read those things down and I'm like, that one costs money. That one feels good. That one costs money.
I'm not a huge fan of executive orders, by the way. When I worked in the White House, executive orders.
The presidents are.
I agree. the executive orders, when I worked in the White House, were mainly for, hey, we're going to do an executive order and honor Hank Aaron, for instance.
Right.
And we're going to make this Hank Aaron Day, right? Because this is when he reached his home run lead or whatever. That was the executive orders I saw come when I worked in the White House. It seemed over the last, I don't know, 10, 20 years, executive orders became, well, I can't get the legislator to do it, the Congress to do it.
They became big with Barack Obama, if I remember correctly.
So I'm going to do this. I mean, Barack Obama, Trump, I mean, they made an issue out of signing executive orders that they couldn't pass through Congress.
Right.
I'm not a huge fan of them. I think you use executive orders for the right purposes. When you see almost like emergency situations, when you see things that you have to do and there's not enough time, but you got to understand executive orders are as good as really the paper for a while. I mean, Trump, he would do the executive orders and smile and think he changed the law forever. You don't, because the next president comes in and guess what? He signs the executive order that says what you just did, I'm undoing. Mm-hmm. So that's the problem with executive orders. The other problem is you're absolutely right. There's really no debate. There's really just they tell who go to their budget people or they go to their economics or they go to their labor secretary or whatever and say, what do you think about this? Let's draft an executive order. Whereas that is really the job for Congress to do and our elected officials in Congress. And then for the president to either, you know, support legislation or not support legislation. I think what you're seeing a lot of today, and I'm not defending what you're seeing because you I'd rather go through executive orders, was a COVID response, whether you agree with it or not.
I did. I just said I had no problem with his COVID response.
And I think you're seeing a response to some of the things that Trump was happily endorsing as his executive orders. It was a direct response to what he was doing.
So and was
he
was doing,
and, I'm not disagreeing with you, and what Trump was doing a lot of, he was undoing a lot of what Obama did. So now we're in this era now where we're going to say, if you're going to do this, the first thing I'm going to do is make sure that's not
then
done.
Don't you wish that we had a leader that wasn't going to operate that way? I mean, it's just the same thing. It's just, I'm going to take my ball and go home. You did this, so I'm going to do this.
Well, I mean,
why can't we have a leader that sits in the office and says, look, I don't agree with the decisions the past administration has made, but before I sit in this desk and start waving my pen around, let's have some conversations. Let's have some bilateral conversations. Let's have some conversations around the industry that I'm about to affect. That's what pisses me off about the whole thing, is that it's not. It is exactly what you just said.
The other side of that is you guys are coming off and saying,
There's no you guys, Len. There's no you guys. Yeah, there's no we guys. There's no Leonard guys. There's no Paul guys.
You read an executive order and you read what he did, and the first reaction is because he's doing this because he's cutting jobs. The reason why he did the pipeline was exactly because the federal judge ordered a certain study to take place.
And I'm not trying to be a dick. I don't read why he did it.
That's what he said.
Why he did it doesn't. You're missing the point.
No, I'm not missing.
Yes,
the
you
point.
Are. We're sitting here in an economy. And wait a minute, because you have sat on this show and said I need to start thinking about the little guy, not the stock market. Okay?
Exactly. That's the $15 an hour raise.
You're right. And I'm sitting here thinking about him, and you're over in the other chair going, "Well, he did it because a federal judge said that, you know, back 4 years ago." So what? Then have Biden sit there with the guts to say, "Wait a minute," to say, "Guys, I don't want to cost these people their jobs. I don't want to cost this. Let's have a bilateral conversation and let's discuss what's going on with this thing." Look, so you give him a pass, but you don't give me a pass. It's ridiculous the way that you
judge. I have
no
idea what you're talking about with the pass that I'm giving.
Well, you're giving Biden a pass.
I'm giving you the facts of why he did what
Len,
he did.
The facts don't.
I've never been pro a pipeline because the way they did it and the way they went through that, the Indian land was ridiculous. Yeah. And now they've had their first leak and they're like, "Oh, wow, sorry, we didn't realize, we'll fix it." That's going to happen a lot. And so I'm 100% against it. You could figure out how to get oil some other way. That is not the way to me. With that being said, I know when I read why he did that, a federal judge said, "You can't do this unless you do this." And what we had is a president said, "I'm not going to listen to the federal court."
I don't care. Well, you keep coming back to that.
How do you not care?
Because, Leonard, I'm beyond the point of caring. I'm to the point that there are people employed based on that
pipeline. And
there's
people that are directly water's infected. People's drinking water's infected. This is why they wanted the study.
Great.
You feel sorry for the worker, but you don't feel sorry for the communities that are.
Len, that's not true.
Yes,
what I am saying is that before you sit there and say, you know, it's not about this, it's about that, it's all of it. So don't just sit there, pull the plug, unemploy all these people, and then say, "We'll come back to this later," because you know the reality is that thing's done. It's dead now. And that's not the right thing to do.
You
disagree?
I disagree.
All right. All right, guys, we're going to move on. Thank you very much. That was a lot of fun. I really enjoyed that. That was fun. We are out. You know, I don't know how I feel. And here's a good question. He revoked the order to exclude undocumented workers for census purposes.
Yes, that's important.
Why is that important?
It's important for fair representation, but also money.
But what's fair representation if they're not paying taxes?
The United States Constitution says every person, whether they're here legally or not, shall be counted. And they're, so whether you're here legally or not, you fall under the protections of the United States.
Hold on. Did you start yet?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. I'm sorry. Okay, go ahead.
So in the Constitution, it says, if you're here legally or not, you fall under the protection of the United States, right? Take an easy example is, let's say you're not here legally and you're injured at work. You still get workers' comp. If you're here...
If you're an illegal immigrant and you're
illegal,
working...
legally here, just visiting, no matter... If you're on American soil, you're protected and are counted for under the Constitution.
All right. So let me, I'm sorry. And I'm not trying to be a jerk. Mm-hmm. I'm really trying to follow along with this, because it says the exact wording was that it excludes undocumented workers from census. So I read that and I assume that means illegal immigrant, not legal immigrant, an illegal, an undocumented immigrant.
What says that?
This was the executive order that he signed.
Well, because Trump signed the executive order.
I get it.
That said,
I get it.
But for years, they've always included illegal immigrants. Every census has always did. This was the first time that we had a president that said, no, you cannot. There's a reason why he doesn't want, no, you cannot. Because the money, let's say Los Angeles has a high illegal immigration. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm. They'll get more federal money for schools, for police, for protection. They get more federal money if they're included in that count. If they're not included in that count, then you're losing federal money. So
should you be, so I mean, this is a great conversation, I think.
Right.
So if I have illegal immigrants, undocumented workers, illegal immigrants, mm-hmm. whatever, sure. you know, put it up mm-hmm. any way you want to. They are not contributing to the tax base.
Oh, don't go there.
I'm asking the question.
Yes,
Len.
They are.
In fact,
and I don't know the number because I didn't know that was coming up. They contribute so much to Social Security, to tax, and they never collect.
But how Social do they Security. Contribute to Social Security or tax if they're being paid under the table, or they can't prove, because you can't hire someone if they can't fill out an I-9.
Yeah. So
how are they contributing to Social Security, or how are they contributing to tax base?
Well, you could still get an IT number. You get a number if you're here. A lot of them still get Social Security numbers. I don't know how. Some of them legally, some of them not legally. They use Social Security numbers. A lot of clients that I've had that are not legally here have paid taxes that they'll never get the benefit of that in regards to Social Security and so forth. They'll get or Medicaid or whatever. So they do contribute. And there was numbers that were floating out years ago, and I don't remember them, but billions of dollars to tax revenues that they don't get back to Social Security and don't get back. I've heard some arguments, even from the conservative Republicans, the old Bush and Reagans, that these people, the illegals, they get, they pour into Social Security. And if you kick them out and deport them, you're losing that money from Social Security that they'll never collect anyway. So there's a false impression.
Bush and Reagan would have told you, don't even touch this subject. It was a third rail for them. And I'm saying that in a good way, because they knew that there was, and you and I have talked about this before, Bush knew the importance of the economy and the immigrant worker right. in both the state of California and in the state of Texas.
As it relates to the census, though, this is where it becomes a political issue.
Right.
It's not so much the money, I think, I don't want to say Republicans, but what Trump was thinking and the people were thinking. It's now,
I want you to go an entire show without saying his name. I really do, because I want you to move on.
Well, no, because this is why you're talking about this. Yeah. This Biden's executive order would never be an executive order because it was always included. Illegals were always included in the counts. They always have been. It's just because he was reversing what the Trump administration did.
The past administration did.
So this was important is because they're doing the census now. I think it was due in October. And they asked for more time because there were so many people that still were unaccounted for. And the past administration said, no, we're not going to give you an extension of time. And we're not going to include the illegal immigrants. The problem with that is the money that comes in from the federal dollars, because it's divided. There's so much money given to the states, and it's divided between the states based off of citizenship or people in their towns. Look, if an illegal immigrant, let's say he has a family of seven, and they use the police department for whatever, they call the police, they get pulled over for tickets or something, that money has to be accounted for. They have to be accounted for so that the state can get more money to have more police officers to account for them, right? So that's the argument for it. The argument against including them is merely political, because now you also divide up the electoral college based on the census. You also divide up the House of Representatives based on the census. So, for instance, Colorado, let's say we have 10% illegal immigrants that are not accounted for. We may not get an extra congressman in Colorado if they're not accounted for. If they're accounted for, we then may qualify to take a congressperson away from, let's say, a state like Illinois or some other state, Texas, and we get an extra congressperson because the census reflect the people that actually live here. So there's a whole bunch of arguments why and why not. The past administration was worried that states that are more blue would get more congresspeople, would get more electoral college votes, because they're the ones that have more illegal immigrants that are going to be counted. So that's why this became an argument. That's why it's important for Biden to address it, because it's only counted every 10 years, and 2020 was the years to do the census. And in the next year, in fact, I might be on the commission that divides up our congressional districts. So there's going to be a commission put together in the state of Colorado that will divide up congressional districts. Right now we have seven congressional districts. Based on the census, we may have eight. And that would mean one more representative for the state of Colorado if the census are done correctly and are including all people that live within the state of Colorado.
All right, I'm going to move on to another subject, because that was a long, very long answer. It was a good answer.
Sorry.
It's a good answer. Student loans, we talked about that. We're not going to take any money for that. The Paris Accord, we talked about that, and you and I both looked at that this week, and
I neither here or there. I think it shows America's taking leadership.
Yeah, I don't know why we walked away from it. There's not like there was anything to it. Immigration, that he shut down harsh and bad treatment of immigrants. I went back and I did. It's funny. I went back and I tried to look at where the history of this whole immigration thing with separating families and all of this really came from, because you hear, you read that it was something that was on the books with Bush. It was something on the books that with Obama, and Trump was just using, the past administration was just using, the laws that were out there. And the fact is it wasn't out there. It was something that really, Jeff Sessions, when he said, 100, we were going to have a 100%, turn back rate or whatever it was, that was when everything changed. But there was an agreement called the TVPRA that came around in 2008 from George W. Bush, but it wasn't focused as much on illegal immigration as it was on anti-trafficking of kids, of people, but it was an anti-trafficking statute. And that was actually Bill Clinton and then into Trump. And then, the things that Obama did during his time did not reach, obviously, what there were some stories out there. Anyway, what I found interesting was the Trump administration released 100,000 immigrants during his first 15 months from prisons, after they were caught. The standard practice is you get caught at the border.
Catch and release is what the Obama administration did.
And if someone was coming for asylum, That was different than someone who's illegally crossing the border. And I had to educate myself on this. If you're coming for asylum, which a lot of South American countries that have gone through horrible, horrible things with their governments, that's why they were coming across. And they were not pleading to be Americans. They were pleading for asylum and then would become Americans. The issue, the big issue is people that are crossing the border illegally. And part of that is sex traffic rings, drug running, and all of those things, for sure. There's no doubt about it. But then there's also people that are doing that because they don't want to go and they don't want to try asylum. And they just want to get to the United States because maybe they know somebody else and maybe they are from Central America. Those are not bad people. They're just trying to get away from a bad situation. So needless to say, the Trump administration released 100,000 immigrants during his first 15 months in office. So it was the same policy as it was for the prior administrations. And then the zero policy took effect in April of 2018. And then that's when the world went to hell. And Jeff Sessions basically said, you know, everyone will be caught. And what happened was the parents are being prosecuted. Kids couldn't be prosecuted because they're not. And then that led to the whole shit show that we saw for about 4 months. And I know that you were a part of and trying to help some of those kids. So, I as far as that executive order goes, I fully agree. We should not be treating anybody. No country should be treating people like that. That that was inhumane.
That's a human rights
issue. It's embarrassing. So, I mean, past that, with the executive orders, I guess, just to put a bow on this thing, I hope. So, you know, the country's taken a step and we've changed political parties that are going to be in the White House. And, you know, we have a big show of unity and all these things. And they're all great. They're all positive things. But I just hope that what we don't end up with is, you know, well, they did this, so we're going to do this. They did this, we're going to do this. I hope that more mature heads prevail and that we're able to say, okay, this part of the economy is working well. This part of the economy is not working well. Let's focus on this. The COVID stuff, that's great. That's why whatever I read of executive order and said COVID, I was like, it's fine, do it. Because whatever we're doing today ain't working. So do whatever it is that you have to do. But the rest of these things, as it impacts jobs and money, I think that there has to be more work done. But that's just my opinion, and obviously you just heard it. But
I don't disagree with you too much. I mean, the worry I have with the executive orders like what we're seeing now is I think it's been setting a precedent that you start doing executive orders on things you can't pass through Congress, on things that the prior administration from the other party did. And the one scary part of it is you start doing executive orders because you made promises in your campaigns. So, you know, people are on stage and said, you know, we're going to do this. And then the first day in office, they feel obligated because, you know, they know Congress may not pass it. So they feel obligated to go ahead and sign these executive orders. Sure. I'm not a huge fan of executive orders unless it is something like COVID. One of the ones I'll talk about real quick with COVID that
something
I thought
substantive,
that I thought was real important was, and I can't remember, it's the Defense Act to use money and go in and tell people like Ford or General Motors, you're going to start making equipment to help the pandemic. I mean, we've done it in wars. What is that?
It's the War Times Act.
It's the War Times Act.
But that was already enacted this summer. They did it this summer with the ventilator.
I don't think they did it to the level that needed to be done. And I think that's one of the,
I would check yourself on that, Len. The prior administration, Ford and GM switched over factories to produce ventilators when we couldn't produce enough. And he did it as part of the War Times Act. And then we ended up with a whole lot of ventilators and then we were actually selling them. So I think
they're doing it now.
Yeah.
I think they're doing it now for distribution.
That's not new news.
The executive order that was done.
Yeah. But I'm saying, Len, they were already doing it. So I don't know.
I disagree with it. Cause I read about that and I'm pretty sure that they are now doing that. The executive order that he signed, that is my phone.
It is your phone that's doing it. I would challenge you on that, Len. I think that was already being done last summer. And it was the prior administration that, because it was all over the news that, you know, they didn't, the car industry was coming to a slow halt. And so they switched over some of these factories as that wartime's act, and both Ford and GM were producing ventilators. I feel very confident with my answer on that.
You feel confident about that?
I do.
You're going to stick with that?
Yeah, I'm going to stay with that answer.
Okay, stick with that answer.
I wish that there was a executive policy this week, and this is one that I'm disappointed in. I wish that, and I don't know how he could have done this, but I would like to see an executive policy or executive, whatever the hell we just called those.
Executive order
saying that, denouncing the violence in Portland and denouncing the violence in Seattle.
That's,
because I still haven't heard anything come out of this administration's mouth.
Oh, then you missed it.
I did.
Yeah, you're not watching his new press secretary who comes on and actually does press
again,
conferences.
Leonard, just be professional. Don't be judgmental.
I'm just saying it's unusual to have a current administration
Leonard
actually inform the American people what they're actually working on. She came out yesterday and said that
yesterday. When was the inauguration?
Inauguration
was on Wednesday. She came out yesterday.
No, she came out the first day and did a press conference.
Because I got to tell you, dude, she didn't come out the first day.
Who didn't come out the first day? She held her press conference.
Pawtucky or whatever her name is.
She came out and did a press conference her first day and talked about what's on the agendas.
Leonard, I have not heard our new president
come out
and denounce the violence.
Yes, he is
personally, yes. This is not good. No,
after what happened the other night in Portland, he has asked his attorney general and the State Department to heavily investigate any and all groups that threaten rioting and or violence in the cities and towns of the United States, including Antifa, including Proud Boys, including all of those. She came out in a press conference when they asked her, and she said specifically, yes, that is one of his top priorities that he is working on. And he has said he wants full investigations and he wants them to be on top of them at all stages. So he has.
I'm glad his press secretary did. I wish that he would tell the American people that, because that's the same expectation had for prior administrations. Why would you have it for this one?
I mean,
denounce what's going on. That's all I'm asking.
Paul, I just said instead of standing up there and denouncing it, actually do something about it and have your State Department work on it. Tell them this is what you got to do. This is what you're going after. I don't know what else you want him to do.
More? No, I do.
He's 1 week in office and you want him to do what's 10 years of presidencies haven't done. I don't know.
It's funny, Len, because this is where you and I differ.
I don't know what
I have the same expectation. The same expectation I had for Trump to denounce these groups and to say that these things suck. I have the same expectation for Biden. No,
but he did in his.
Did you hear that in his inaugural
Len, address?
I heard the inaugural. He talked about unity. I want to hear it as a separate announcement. Okay. I want to hear. Well, okay. I just have the same expectation. I'm not like you. I don't
okay.
Well, because you don't have the same expectation for Biden.
I have the same expectation.
Biden should have come out as quick as he went to the executive orders. He should have come out to a microphone and said, this is bullshit.
How does he do that?
They are doing and destroying federal buildings in Portland and Seattle.
He said he wouldn't put up with it.
No, he didn't.
Yes,
he did. Your press secretary told you that. Okay. Did you see a press conference with him?
This is what I'm telling you. You said they haven't said anything, the administration, and I'm telling you they have. But that's not good enough for the reason.
If you judged a prior administration on that, you'd go, that's bullshit.
Look, the prior administration endorsed one of them. Proud Boys stand by.
I get it. I have an expectation for my current president to come out and say, this is bullshit.
First of all, he's not going to say this is bullshit, but he's saying,
I wish he would.
We are not going to put up with this. What else do you want him to say?
I don't know, Len. I go into CNN about 5 times a day, and that is the Joe Biden network, the Democratic network.
Here we go.
It hasn't been on there.
Look at the press release they released on it.
All right.
That's all I'm telling you.
All right, well, I'm telling you as a voter, I'm not satisfied with the response. I'm just telling you. I mean, you can be mad at me. I'm not mad at you.
I'm just saying. I don't. Look, there was something that happened in Portland. His responses, we're going to investigate those people.
Something that's been happening in Portland.
We're going to investigate. He's been president for not even for a week.
He could shut down an oil line in 4 hours.
Well, that's because the federal judges shut it down earlier.
Yeah, so now it's the federal judges.
No, they issued an order, and no, we had a president that said we're not going to follow federal judges.
We have no expectation because for you.
We don't want to follow federal judges because I'm president. I'm God
anyway,
Almighty.
All right, so Leonard, I'm let down. I thought this was an opportunity, especially when you start talking about unity, for him to be able to come out, him, not some underling, him, and say publicly, this is what we're going to do. This is how we're going to handle it. And I think it's a big enough issue that should have been discussed and there should have been some sort of an executive order signed on it, period. That's just my feeling.
And I'm telling you, he came out and said he's doing
it. He didn't come out and say anything. His press secretary, as you just said,
Paul,
said
come
it.
On.
No, I'm
you,
serious.
You were high up in it.
Leonard,
in a business.
I wasn't even close to anything not that he not, is. Not, I want to hear it from
your
his
CEO
mouth.
Did not always come out. You had press...
Len, it doesn't matter. Everything. This is a social issue, and it is huge and has been in the United States for, I don't know, you say 10 years. I actually argue that. I say it hasn't been 10 years that this has been going on. But regardless, it's a huge social issue, and I wanted to hear my president say, by the way, this is not going to happen. Here's what I'm doing.
And I'm people telling you, will not he did. Go into,
no, he didn't. His press secretary did. I want to hear him say it. That's okay. Len, I'm just saying. I mean, that's it.
Okay.
That's it. All right. So what we're going to do, let's take a break and then let's have some fun. Let's come back and let's talk about
I thought
about
we were having
stuff.
Fun.
Well, I'm having fun. Andre's not. He's just sitting back there.
I'm having a blast. Doing. But you guys are just, doing your thing, yelling at each other. And
right. Yeah, we've been talking.
We've been talking like this with each other for over 40 years.
That was a normal conversation.
Well, compared
you
to
seen the first time we ever had our conversation.
Compared to other segments, that was a relatively calm one. Or I would say, it was jovial compared to some other segments.
I agree.
You know?
All right.
Yeah, so, as long as we're not talking about rent and deadbeats, according to Paul, where people don't get so angry.
And don't give a living wage to anybody.
Yeah,
that
and
works
don't take anybody's job. Don't take anybody's job.
No, lay off the world
bad.
And then make other
pour oil all over sacred land, but don't let anybody.
So Leonard the tree hugger is gonna. Leonard's gonna.
And Andre the socialist.
Yeah, and then Andre the socialist give everybody money and don't pay rent. Paul's just rational. That's all he is. But anyway, all right. So we will be right back with the legal dispute with Paul and Lenny. And
it's actually Lenny and Paul.
Did we change that again?
I don't know. Whatever it says on the website.
Lenny and Paul.
So anyway, so we will be right back. My name is Paul, and that's Lenny. And we'll got one more segment. It's going to be a lot of fun. We will see you in a few.